Well, in this day and time, you need to keep up with the news. It changes in 15 minutes sometimes, and we're right on top of most of the things happening because we've got people like Tom Joyner that come in to help us make sense out of things that sometimes doesn't make any sense at all. So, Tom Joyner, a lot is going on. I'm just going to turn the microphone over to you, and you tell folks what they need to know, and I know you know exactly what I mean.
Well, Carl, there's big news today. I told my wife, Ann, that the next time I'm in the bathroom or in the shower, I can now walk in under North Carolina law. She declined. The North Carolina Senate voted this morning on a compromise bill to repeal HB 2. It passed by a 32-16 vote, and then it went before the House of Representatives. It needed 61 votes to pass there. It passed by 70-48. Governor Roy Cooper has said that he would sign it into law. HB 2 was an answer to Charlotte's Democratic Mayor Jennifer Roberts' efforts to allow any individual, male or female, to enter into the bathrooms, the locker rooms, and even the showers of a gender different from their own birth gender. In other words, women could freely roam about men's bathrooms, enter their locker rooms, and join men in the showers. That also means that grown men would be free to enter bathrooms, locker rooms, and even the showers of women and young girls, all in the name of protecting the LGBTQ community. But what about the protections for others? Nobody wants to address that issue because to do so subjects you to calls of racism and bigotry and worse. This compromise bill passed by the state Senate this morning calls for the state to regulate restrooms, the state, and locker rooms, doesn't mention showers, and for no local anti-discrimination bills to come in before 2010. Make that 2020. This hurried compromise was due to pressure from the NCAA, the National Collegiate Athletic Association, which regulates college sports. The NCAA had moved several basketball games out of the state of North Carolina and threatened to ban games from the state's arenas for the next 5 years. Now, the NCAA is a tax-exempt organization whose job it is to protect the purity of college games, not to bully states to satisfy them. Regardless of how one feels about HB 2, it is a slippery slope to allow a sports organization to dictate city or state law. We need to consider that the NCAA has no problems with games being played in China or Russia, where human rights are ignored, but seeks to impose their will upon the state of North Carolina. Predictably, William Barber, the NC president of the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, ambled up to his microphone to denounce this compromise. Barber has been a firm supporter on gay issues. But then Barber is a supporter of any issue that keeps him in the limelight with his bully pulpit. It was Barber who called for a national boycott of North Carolina unless HB 2 was repealed. The fact that it is the people he represents who would lose jobs and suffer the most financial losses from a boycott in North Carolina seems not to matter to William Barber. After all, his income only grows larger as he gets financial support from the causes that he takes up. This foolishness came about when an LGBTQ supporter, Jennifer Roberts, became Charlotte's mayor. It has been well known for a long time that transgender people had been using the bathrooms of the gender that they wished to be identified with. Nobody was raising a fuss because those incidents were not blown out of proportion or flaunted. At the time, North Carolina had a Republican governor in Pat McCrory, and Democrats were looking for any issues to replace McCrory with a Democrat, Roy Cooper. McCrory had supported a toll road in Charlotte that drew fire from Democrats and others and hurt him there. But they needed another national issue to assure McCrory's defeat at the polls, and Jennifer Roberts, a loyal Democratic Party member, gave the party the issue it needed by pushing through a bill in Charlotte that allowed men or women to use the bathrooms, locker rooms, and even the showers of an opposite gender. Bathrooms are one thing, but moving on to locker rooms, and particularly showers, is discriminatory towards men or women who value their privacy in such intimate surroundings. That meant nothing to Roberts or to state Democrats, who knew that this was an issue that could provoke nationally and ensure McCrory's defeat. Sure enough, the national media picked up that fat football and kicked it unmercifully. That led to the NCAA banning games in our state and bringing financial grief upon workers in our state's arenas. Pressure mounted until the NCAA recently set a deadline for the state to bow to its demands that HB 2 be repealed. Or we would face a ban on games in our state for at least 5 years. Think about what I just said. A college sports organization that sanctions college games in countries where there are no human rights is able to impose its liberal will upon North Carolina or any state in the Union. Yesterday, in speaking of the 5-year-old girl in Hope County that was punished by her school for having a stick that the administration imagined was a gun, I pointed out the loss of common sense in America. Common sense dictates that the Charlotte mayor not overreact in her zeal to further the LGBTQ community's complaints about discrimination. Now, we all can have our views about these issues, but my view was and is that it is not discriminatory to use common sense in deciding whether or not grown men should be allowed to shower with little girls. That's a part of the equation that none of these liberals want to talk about. They prefer to speak only about bathrooms and ignore how much further this legislation goes. Again, we all have our own views about what is or isn't discrimination. But my view is that the cries of constant discrimination are much like the boy who cried wolf too often. Eventually, when a real case of discrimination occurs, it does not receive the attention that it merits. For centuries, civilization has honored the privacy of men and women. The politically correct drive from liberal progressive America seeks to blur that distinction. Today's liberals are educated far beyond mere intelligence. They seek to impose their so-called wisdom on the rest of us. They are educating our children to turn away from the teachings of their parents, to ignore the teachings of the Bible and God Himself. They are indoctrinating our children to ignore common sense in favor of the liberal ideas being implanted in their minds. It has taken a long time for liberal progressives to bring us to this point of desperation. They patiently chipped away at our moral values and belief in God and His Word, and left us with that Word in the Bible to be, well, let's just say they don't want us to read it. When I was on air at WPTF in Raleigh back in the 1980s, I actually received nasty calls from progressive liberals in Chapel Hill. Why? for using the word amen in response to viewpoints that I agreed with. To those liberals, amen was a four-letter word. Sadly, that kind of thinking is becoming more the norm. Most places of business, schools, and public buildings have restrooms marked for men or women. In the pursuit of political correctness, these establishments must take the signs off of the restroom doors and allow men and women to mingle together. Forget for a moment your feelings about what others consider right and wrong. As a man or a woman, do you really want a member of the opposite sex in your bathroom? How about in your locker room, where people are partially dressed or naked? And then we get to the showers that nobody wants to talk about. Do you personally want people of the opposite sex in the showers with you? How about with your children or grandchildren? We go too far when we allow people who have male or female genitalia to imagine themselves as something else and impose that imagination on others. That is an invasion of personal space, something that liberal progressives have complained about for years. Many are not happy with the North Carolina Senate's compromise bill on HB 2, but how can happiness be achieved when the two ends have no real middle to attain? This is a matter where men or women are free to roam about in the bathrooms, locker rooms, and shower rooms of the opposite gender, or not. I can't see a middle ground. The Bible speaks of the degradation of the human race, and that time is upon us. Under liberal thinking, I am free to wander naked into the showers where your children seek privacy. You taught them about privacy and the need for it, and now we have liberal progressives telling your children that they should not listen to you, but follow their trail of decadence. Common sense dictates that we do not play with fire. And yet we have those among us who seek to not only play with fire, but to fuel it until it is out of control. No one should discriminate against another person. But when 0.3% of the population seeks to impose its will upon the other 99.7% of us, it's time to stand and say enough. Is it discriminatory to forbid a bully from assaulting your child at school? After all, under the liberal thinking, that bully has a right to their own opinions about assault of others. But when that bully exercises that right upon others, the victim's rights come into play. Liberal America does not want to talk about their hypocrisy. The example I just gave you about a bully's rights would be shoved aside with a snide comment about it being irrelevant. But under their own politically correct rules and guidelines, it is totally relevant. Now, in my opinion, we have not seen the last of the arguments for or against legislation that opens bathrooms, locker rooms, and showers to members of the opposite sex. We can imagine ourselves to be anything except what we are, but that doesn't make it so. God created man and woman. Anything that muddles that distinction is discriminatory to one or the other. The human mind is a complex and contradictory machine, and it's impossible for us to know for sure what makes us tick. As a young boy, I used to walk home from school imagining myself as a rich and successful man. My imagination was vivid, but I could not use that imagination to actually make those dreams come true. Who knows what it is about a person's makeup that triggers their imagination? I sympathize with anyone who's born a male or female and whose mind tells them that they are not what their anatomy tells them they are. But should those of us with clear minds about what gender we have be discriminated against by someone else invading their privacy? This is not an easy subject with a black or white answer, but it is common sense to approach it with the interest not only of those conflicted about their gender, but about those who have no such conflictions, who simply seek the privacy we have afforded to both sexes for centuries. Where North Carolina will go from here is anyone's guess. But it should not take the easy road to simply abandon the morals the Bible teaches us in order to bring more sporting events and more money into the state. Are we really that morally bankrupt? Carl?
Well, thank you, Tom Joyner. Tom, I'm going to say amen. So,
Don't go to Chapel Hill.
Yeah, okay. Well, I never thought in my lifetime I would live and do a program like this. I wish some of my people that grew up when I did back in Spring Hope were alive today. They would not believe what the nation has turned to at this time. Now, I asked Chris a moment ago. We have a Skype program here, as you know. And I think we can maybe get a telephone call to you. It's kind of complicated. You know the engineering thing. Chris, can we allow somebody to call in and have maybe a brief conversation with Tom Joyner?
Yes, sir. We've tried it before, and I think Tom was able to hear the caller, so I think
I was, and I think that's a good idea. And actually, maybe once every month or every 2 months, I'd like to do that, to open up the line to folks who can express themselves and ask me whatever they want, agree or disagree.
Well, I wonder, as before we open up the open line, what is all this leading to? What will be the final outcome? This is now being debated across America, and something will eventually come of this. But what will it be? What kind of country are we headed for? Are people really concerned? I heard a couple of people say today it's all about the money, and I didn't disagree with that. So, Chris, you take over. And somebody listening to me out there on the airwaves of WTSB, and I know that Tom Joyner has thousands and thousands and thousands of listeners everywhere, somebody that would like to talk to Tom, maybe ask a question, maybe make a comment, it's open. I think we render a great service when we open up these lines for you, the people out there, to own and to give your opinion. The day will probably come when you'll not be given the opportunity of expressing your viewpoint. I fear that day may come sooner than we may think. But right now, you have the opportunity to speak your mind, to express your opinion as you believe. So, Chris, go ahead and see if we can get a caller that will call in and talk to Tom and maybe have a discussion. And maybe you're kind of concerned about this like I am.
All right. Call Tom Joyner live right now at 919-934-2058. The line is open for Tom Joyner, 919-934-2058.
You know, we've got to remember, you do not destroy a house at once. It needs to be done brick by brick, slowly but surely. And that is something that socialists and communists and liberal progressives have known for centuries. It's taken a long time to get to the point where we are, but we are at that point. And we'll take a call or any number of calls of folks that want to call in and either agree, disagree, or simply state your own opinion. That would be fine with all of us. Chris, the number again?
That number is 919-934-2058. Give us a call, the line, and Tom is waiting for you.
And today, if our listeners will let Carl know, and the radio station know whether they would like me to open the lines, maybe once a month or every 2 months or whatever, and allow feedback back and forth. That's what I've done all of my life. It was a give and take on air. Then we'll be glad to do that. And a lot of people are timid about calling and expressing themselves. You don't have to identify yourself. You can simply call and make your comments without identifying yourself.
Okay.
So there's no need to be timid about it. And yours, you're just as you have as much right to your opinion.
Yes, sir, Tom. We've got a call coming in. So
all right, as I do tomorrow.
We're trying to set it up now. We lost the caller. We had a call, and we lost it.
That happens, Carl. I notice quite often.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know why.
I notice some other lines are ringing here now at the radio station, but the on-air line is not ringing, so it's apparently they're trying another line here. But we did have a call, so stand with me for just a moment.
Sure.
We invite. There we go. We got another call coming in. So, caller, come on in. Tom Joyner is able to hear you, and you and Tom have a discussion. So, tell him who you are and where you're calling from.
I'm calling from Raleigh.
Raleigh.
I can't make good contact.
Now, the audio is not very good here, Tom. Can you hear the audio?
I can hear it. It's bare, but I can hear it.
I'm sorry. I can't make good contact, but if you can hear me. I just want to let Tom Joyner know and Mr. Carl Brown, they are great, great Americans.
I apologize for the audio, Tom.
Thank you. I did hear that, and I appreciate that very much. I'm in the twilight of my life after 54 years in broadcasting. I still have the zeal for speaking up, and I try to research so that when I speak up, I give you facts and not fake news or try to confuse you. I've said this so many times that if I'm wrong about something and I find that out, I'm the first to point it out. So far, I'm batting a pretty good percentage. But thank you for the call.
Okay, now, I think it would be good if you could come to the studios here. I think we could accommodate this kind. This is kind of an engineering problem here. But I think if you could come to the studios and sit where I sit, Tom, I think you'd get one call right after another. That would be my opinion here. And a lot of people just don't want to give an opinion. And I think we've reached a point. Now, I know, let me just give you a thought here. Several years ago, before we elected Barack Obama, we had a lot of black listeners that would call in. But when he was elected, we noted that we didn't get many calls anymore from our black friends. And I don't know why that is so, but it is so. But thank you, Tom. Tom, we're going to figure this thing out. Where do you think this will eventually go? Have you got any thoughts about what will happen? Will the people take it? Will they bow down to it? Where is this leading us?
Well, we have to remember that when you voice your opinion, and it's not the same opinion shared by our liberal friends, you're going to come under fire. You're going to be called all kinds of names. You're a racist. You're a homophobe. You're an Islamophobe. And so a lot of people do get cowed into submission. But listen, we can't do that. We've got to stand together and we've got to speak up. I get all kinds of people. I get a lot of people thanking me for what I try to do. But I also get people, and particularly when we were doing the give and take on radio, I get people who disagree, some who disagree violently. If I just added up the death threats I've received over the years from liberals just foaming at the mouth, if I added them up and put a nickel on each one, I'd have those shiny nickels that Carl talks about every now and then. But it's not going to stop me from speaking out. If we allow ourselves to be cowed, where is this going to? You're going to be not unlike the civilizations before us who meekly submitted and lost their lives.
Well, we've had a very serious program here this afternoon. I've had many people to tell me they appreciate what the radio station is doing. What we're doing is we've got another call coming in here. I hope this will be clear. Caller, come on in, say hello, and let's see if it's clear. Come on in, say
this is Calvin Edgerton. How you doing today?
Well, we still have a problem with audio here. Tell me again who you are.
This is Calvin Edgerton.
Okay, Calvin Edgerton, I believe you said.
Yes, sir.
Okay, it's a little clearer now. So, Tom, can you hear Calvin?
Yes, I could hear him.
Hey, Tom, I wanted to ask you a question about liberalism as an ideology. The liberals seem to think that that their ideology is normal thinking, and they see conservatism as an ideology that's bad for America. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, and I'll just go ahead and hang up and listen to your response.
All right. Thank you very much. What we have here now is a great division. We all know that. That's going to tear us apart, liberals and conservatives at one another's throat. Frankly, I listen to the liberals. I want to hear what they have to say. I don't agree with it most of the time. I have an attorney and a great friend in Washington, D.C., my FCC attorney, and he is as liberal as it gets. He'd follow Hillary Clinton off a cliff. But I'm not going to allow that, and he's not going to allow that, to interfere with our friendship. I listen to him. There has been maybe a rare occasion when I agreed with him, he listens to me, and there have been occasions when he swung over to my way of thinking. But the truth is, we are divided into liberal and conservative camps. Liberals have no room for anybody to that would not agree with their point of view. And that kind of makes a discussion, a give and take, something that can't possibly happen. I noticed here recently, Carl mentioned that the lack of callers from the black community. I wish they would call in. We all have to open our minds. We cannot continue to go through life close-minded. We have to speak to one another. Let each other know how we feel and why those feelings we believe is valid. Now, having divided us along racial lines in the 8 years of Barack Obama, we are now being centered on the division between women and men. Take a look at USA Today. If you haven't seen it, pick up a copy and take a look at it. There's article after article after article of why men are bad and women are good. Now, it's true, some men are bad, some women are good. Some men are good, some women are bad.
Got another call coming in, Tom. So,
all right.
Okay, caller, let's come on in. And Tom is on the other end, and he's waiting to hear from you. Tell Tom who you are and where you're calling from.
Well, my name is Jerry Biesecker from Smithfield, North Carolina. And I have a little situation with that. That don't seem right. It should have stayed the same the way it was because, you know, situations like that make problems for younger people in life. And I think it's just not God's way in life to do things like that. But we got a new governor, and we got to take the satisfaction like we have to do. And if he's going to change the law, us people as Christians, we should support our religion. And it's not right, but I know that he has a political point about it. But I trust in Tom Joyner, what he says, and I listen to you every day. I try to, but I'm a 30-year retired military, and I know how it is. But I just wanted to thank you for supporting us and supporting God. And I just want to let it go there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate it. And thank you for your service, by the way. We need to do that, say that to every veteran that we come into contact with. We're not too far along that we can't change things back. But we can't do it if we're going to be in different camps, men, women, black, white, Republican, politician, Democrat, politician, we've got to try to find some common ground to work with. And right now, we have no common ground. Republicans are moving their way. Donald Trump is doing what? Exactly what he said he would do if we elected him. We elected him. And he is doing exactly what he said he would do. The problem with us today is that Democrats are not so much, I mean, it's not like they dislike Donald Trump. For Pete's sake, most of them have glad-handed him all through the years and sought money from him and received it. But his ideas, now where'd those ideas come from? The people. The people of this country endorsed what he was saying. It was ideas that they wanted put into place. And so Trump is trying to do that. And that is driving the left crazy. They have worked all of these years to put up this solid defense against conservatism. And here we have a president who is actually doing what he said he would do. It's not just Democrats, by the way. In Washington, the Republicans, so many of the Republicans do not want to drain the swamp. They live in the swamp. They enjoy the swamp. As Jesse Helms said to me one day, you know, if you know, don't ever get in the mud with a pig. You'll get dirty and the pig's going to enjoy the experience. That's what we have in Washington. They don't want change. Now, that when I say they, I don't mean everybody. Obviously, there are a number of conservatives that want change. There are no liberals that want change. We cannot be cowed. We as individuals must speak up. You, in whether you are in your coat and tie or your coveralls, it doesn't matter. Whether you're black or white, it doesn't matter. Male or female, it doesn't matter. We have got to be together in this human race, or we're going to lose the race. Carl, I am willing to come to the station maybe every month or every 6 weeks or so, and we will open the lines and be able to take calls in greater volumes. I understand the problem with the logistics and the technology. And so I'd be willing to do that.
Well, we'll talk about it, and I think we can work something out. But the phone company is doing something now. They are increasing the speed on the phone lines, and we need that here at WTSB sometimes because we have an internet problem, as you know about, Tom, and Chris, okay. Chris, the phone company is now talking about giving more speed to the internet lines. That will help us immensely here at WTSB. Tell Tom about that and tell the public about that.
Well, it was in Mickey's News. I don't know if it's going to come this far south, but I know it's in Greater Smithfield. CenturyLink is upgrading their internet lines to fiber optic.
Well, CenturyLink Link needs to do that. Because in particular, I've noticed at WTSB and your phone service, it's been abysmal. And I've said something in the past about that. CenturyLink needs to spend the money that is necessary to deliver a quality product. Perhaps now they're going to do it. But that will help you to talk and get feedback from your listeners in greater volume. I get so frustrated sometimes with folks who mean well. They're good people, but they don't want to get involved. They'll watch a fight from the rooftop across the street, but they're not going to try to interfere and stop somebody that's being abused or assaulted. We've seen that happen on the streets many times, where people are standing right there, seeing some guy beating up a woman. And they don't want to get involved. Now, you say, well, I might get my teeth knocked out. Listen, I can replace my teeth. I don't want my teeth knocked out. But I'm not going to stand there and watch somebody be abused. And by the way, as soon as North Carolina allowed it, I went through and got my concealed carry permit. I don't have to get my teeth knocked out. If I need to rise up to help somebody else or myself, I have a means to do it. And I know that infuriates liberals who think that we all ought to go unarmed through the day. You know, the London police don't carry guns. And do you know what's happening over there now? They're beginning to lose more and more of those policemen and their citizens to people who do carry guns. The bad people are always going to carry guns. I'm going to tell you that in the next, I think in the next 12 months, London and Great Britain is going to allow their policemen to be armed. It's again, goes back to common sense. It makes no sense to patrol the streets unarmed when you know that the bad guys are in those streets totally armed.
Certainly agree with you. Well, Tom, we'll work on these mechanics we're talking about. It's kind of an engineering problem, and a lot of our public may not understand exactly the terminologies that we use from time to time. But I thank you for, first of all, for being a good friend. Secondly,
well, I appreciate that.
Secondly, I thank you for being a Christian.
Thank you.
Because I think that you love America. If you could press a button now, you would return us back to when we embraced the Constitution, and we don't have that anymore. You would bring prayer back in school if you could press a button, and so would I. You would return to the values of our forefathers, but we've got something called crony capitalism that we couldn't go back today if we had to, like it was when I grew up. And the 20s and 30s and 40s back in Nash County. But we can start the process, and America needs to wake up. And Tom, you're one of the few people that I would trust. I think everything you say, I would follow you in what you're thinking, because I know where your heart lies. I know it lies with the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and so does mine.
It does, Carl. I was baptized when I was 8 years old. I went to church by myself because we had family problems in those days with my mother and father, who had an alcohol addiction and who later cleared that up and lived good Christian lives. But I would go to church by myself on Wednesday night, on Sundays, go to church Bible school. I was about, I don't think I was more than 6 years old, maybe five, when I was in a play in Bible school in which I had to recite the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those are big words for a 5-6-year-old kid. But I've always felt God in my heart. I have had occasions where, and I'll give you quickly, do we have time, Carl?
Yes, sir.
I'll give you one of those times right now. We're having a little friction in our own family. Nobody's at fault. There is no time that there aren't two sides to every story. But in the recent past, in the last 2 days, emails which we sent to one another, for some reason, didn't get there. They were lost into space. What are the odds of that happening in this particular scenario when we're at odds with each other? It's like the odds of winning the lottery. If nobody sees the hand of God in that, they're not looking. And so we've started now, because those emails didn't go back and forth, we are now on a firmer ground, and we're beginning to clear up the issues between us. Anybody who can't see the hand of God in that just simply does not want to look. So, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm happy to say it. And when they say, Carl, that we mentioned prayer in schools, the left just goes bananas. Why not? Nobody has said, let's put Christian prayer back in school. We said put prayer back in school. If you want to get on the floor in the corner and bow, you know, five times a day and worship your way, that's fine. Knock yourself out. In fact, many schools are setting aside areas for Islam followers to have prayer every day. And yet they prevent it for Christians. So it doesn't matter what your religion. You know, we're admonished in the Bible to pray silently and not to make a big show of it. So I don't think anybody should make a big show out of having Christians dominate the room, for instance. We're saying prayer in school. I would say Christian prayer in school because I'm a Christian. But that's not what's being said, prayer in school. So we're allowing the liberal, politically correct crowd to simply take us apart brick by brick.
Well, I want to tell you, and I'd like to see the whole world, but I know there are thousands of people out there, and I appreciate what you're doing, and I support you, and I want you to know that I pray for you, and I support you because I know where your heart is, and I think that time has come. We've got to stand up for what we believe. We can't sit down and be silent anymore. I think we've got to stand up, and I support you because I know that you are lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and so do I.
Well, Carl, you've been in my prayers every night for years, and I truly hope that our people will realize that what they think and what they say and what they do matters. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, man or woman, black or white. It doesn't matter. You are important. What you think is important, and you should be willing to stand up. There's going to come a day for all of us, if you believe as I do, that there is a day of reckoning. There's going to come a day when, whether we want to or not, we're going to have to stand up, and we're going to have to speak, and we're going to have to answer for our lives. Do it now. Do it now.
Okay, I've got a couple of announcements I want to do before 4 o'clock today, but we'll continue this idea, and we'll try to have more discussions, Tom, but thank you for a wonderful, wonderful broadcast today.
Thank you, Carl, and I'll come down there to do the give and take with our listeners because I care that much, and we probably need to do it on Mondays because people expect me on Mondays. Sometimes okay. They don't expect me on in these off days.
Okay, that sounds good.
I'll do that. And Carl, God bless America.